The Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live.
All right, this week on the Arizona Media Podcast, a familiar face, a familiar voice, familiar name through the years. People have said to me, you know, Kevin McCabe is the dean of high school. Why have you not had him on? I said, well, that's a good point. Why have I not had him on? I mean, it's about time. And so I reached out and said, let's do this and just chop it up. It is good to see you. For people that are jumping in saying, there's a familiar face. You were at Channel 10 for how many years?
I was there for 13 years. By the way, you just ran out of people finally, you know, and you said, you know, like that guy. And you know this, quite frankly, because I told you this, that I don't do this because I there was a lot of years when I was TV boy. Look at me. It's all about me. It's not about me anymore. It's whatever I can do to lift young people up. But thank you for having me. And no, Channel 10 for 13 years, 1990 to 2003, and then Fox Sports Arizona here in the Valley for 5 years till 2008. So that's my Phoenix stuff. Yeah.
And before that, Tucson.
Well, I was in Tucson from 84 to 90. You know, a lot of people think that the basketball program turned around because Lute Olson got there in 83, but I got there in 84 and rode that wave pretty good. And then I began in Flagstaff television in 1981 with Channel 2, KNAZ TV2. And so it's been, I've been really blessed, Brad, because the young people who are in broadcasting or television, and you know this, we've both been blessed. Most of them have to go to Minot or Chico and Galveston and cut their teeth. And I was lucky to spend it all in the state of Arizona. Never hit Yuma. You know, there's still that chance, but go down and cruise 4th Avenue. But I'm really blessed with the career that I've been able to stay here in Arizona.
When did you know you wanted to do television?
You know, it's funny you ask, because we had our like 20-year high school reunion years ago, and somebody asked my high school girlfriend that, you know, did you always want to do sports? And she said, oh, he always did. And so I don't remember that. But I went to NAU. I played college hockey up there in the dome when they first started, you know, playing hockey in the dome up there. And I had no idea. I just wanted to, I was a PE major because I thought that's what you do. I was a French minor because I knew French. I played hockey in Canada during my high school days, and then I realized my senior year that they'll pay you money to play records on the radio. They'll pay you money to talk about sports, and I said I got to do this, and I loved it. And you know, God has really blessed me with an awesome, fun career because it is hard, and you know this. And but I was really lucky and fortunate to have a great career. So I don't know when I really decided, but luckily I fell into it and came out wearing a beautiful brown suit.
Who was the face or voice that poured into you that said you can do this? Because all of us have to have that. And it could be the person that you married. It could be, you know, a long lost relative. But somebody along the way had to lean into you. For me, it was my high school speech teacher who said, you've got something here and go chase it. But what about you?
You know, it's a great question. You know, as you look back, I remember my mom saying, you know, you're a great storyteller because I was great at lying. You know, I know I didn't steal that candy bar, but no, you know, when I did it in Flagstaff, I had a great mentor there, a young man named Mike Fernandez, who, you know, hired me to do weekend sports. I was making $3.65 an hour and just working Saturday and Sundays. But he'd come out from New Jersey and was really, up, and he'd watched Warner Wolf and he'd watched all the greats. And so he was a great mentor. He went on, actually left Flagstaff and went to Dallas, made like the biggest jump you can make in TV and had a nice career, and then eventually in sports radio. When I went to Tucson, there was a young cat named Greg Mills, who wound up working out in LA for years in news, still lives here in Phoenix, but just really showed me how to be a great storyteller and taught me that how to, not anybody can do scores and highlights, as you know. But it was Greg Mills. It was a Vic Caputo, who was a former news anchor in Detroit, who embraced me. And then, you know, luckily when I came here to Phoenix, I worked with some great people here as well. So all along, I stole everybody's stuff and reworked it with my own style and been very successful as a result of it. I gave him credit most of the time.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Kevin McCabe this week, Arizona Media Podcast, as we chop it up for a little bit about his career, his run, the peaks, the valleys. Tell me about the valleys of broadcasting for you. Where were they? When were they? Did you come close to saying, I'm out, I can't do this anymore?
Yeah, you know, no, I had a great run, and TV was glorious back in those days. And you know this, I tell people that if they've seen the movie Anchorman and they laugh, that's kind of what we were. There's a great article in Sports Illustrated did years ago, a few years ago, on the death of the local sports anchor. And it highlighted Fred Rogan, who I ironically went to high school with at West High here in Phoenix. And Fred and I have been friends. But how we were kind of little celebrities. People were waiting for the evening news. And so it was the greatest, funnest job you could possibly have. And then the advent of social media and telephones, and you know, it crushed newspapers, and obviously now people aren't waiting for that. But I had the most magnificent run that I could ever have in television. You know, there were downtimes. It was challenging on my lifestyle, and you know, I got married. I have kids. You know, you're covering high school sports on Friday night. Saturday, you're covering ASU, Sunday, Cardinals, and then you go to work on Monday. And what do you have for me Monday? Feed the beast. So it was challenging on my family. I have a great wife. I have great kids, as I know you do, too. And I love seeing that, you know, they could have kicked me to the curb a long time ago. You know, I have my own personal challenges as a result of that. And I've shared them publicly. I don't mind sharing them, that I crashed and burned as a result of it, with alcohol and drugs. I bottomed out, and luckily I didn't, not in jail and not dead, but I don't think it was, it fed the beast with my ego. I'm an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. Yeah. So the TV fed my ego, the alcohol fueled it. And together, it was a great, perfect marriage for a lot of years. And, you know, I never drank on TV or never drank, but it just fueled my lifestyle. Everything. Tim Cowlishaw of the Dallas Morning News has written a brilliant book. I think you'd really enjoy it. I don't push books on people, but it's a two bathroom read. You know, but it really documents a lot of the journey that I was on, because everything you were involved in involved drinking and to get in with the athletes and to get the, you know, and unfortunately I bottomed out as a result in 2014, and I've been sober almost 10 years now. So I'm proud of that. I'm a whole new man, and I'm able to look back at a lot of the great things, but there were some demons in there. There were some dark times.
Who pulled you aside and said, hey? Or was it you? Was it one day you're just sitting there and you're looking around like, what is going on here?
It has to be you. And I know alcoholics and drug addicts will tell you that. You know, I get the law told me at one point, you know, I got a DUI. And, you know, so I thought, well, I just have a problem drinking and driving. Well, you know, I had a problem drinking. I thought Uber would cure all that. My wife stuck with me for a long time during this. I really bottomed out, and she, you know, she threatened to leave me. She says now she never was going to. So I got sober for that. But ultimately, I had to get sober for myself. You know, I tell this story when it's laughable now. You know, I had my hip replaced in 2014. And so I was drinking, drugging. I was feeling better. I know you've had some replacement surgeries. You know, you're on. Thankfully, I didn't fall down that oxy road, the heroin and the fentanyl and the meth. But I was out drinking in a Diamondback game. And I was it's 2 weeks out of hip surgery. And I took a pedicab to my car because, well, I just came out of surgery. Well, I hopped out of the pedicab, broke my femur, the post of my hip came out, and I drove home, you know, a few more pain meds and oxys to go with it. and woke up and nearly died because of it. My body was in shock. I needed 8 hours of emergency surgery to repair it. And that was kind of the opening, eye-opening that, you know, your life has really become unmanageable. And TV was long gone by this point, you know, and but I'd recreated my life. But luckily, I got help. And, you know, almost 10 years later, 9.5 years, 7-11, Brad, 7-11, 2015. And I joke because I spent so much money on booze at the 7-11, but I did that at Skaggs and U-Totem and Circle K. So 7-11 is my my birthday now for my life.
How much of it, Kevin, is the, you know, there's this perception in our business of those around us that you're famous, you know, joke about, you just want to be recognized buying broccoli at the grocery store. Or, you know, this, that Charles one time was late showing up for something that we were doing on the radio side. And he calls in, and while I'm trying to give him directions on the air. And you hear somebody in the background say, "What are you doing here?" And Charles says, "I'm getting gas. What does it look like I'm doing here?" You know, like there's this superhuman side of us that the industry that we're in, and a lot of the people that consume this show that I do are college students.
Yeah.
They have no idea how lonely this business can be. Yeah. They have no idea the length of hours. It's not how great is your fantasy team or how many followers you have. When you're off the air after those 3, 4, 5 minutes, and you've got another 23 hours and 55 minutes to fill before you're back on, it's hard. And do you think that's a fair way to describe where you were?
Yeah, a lot of it, Brad. You know, I know obviously a lot of it's changed, but it fueled my lifestyle. You know, you sleep in the morning, you go to a practice, you know, you're into the office by 2, you do the 5 and 6 o'clock news, you go out and have dinner and cover another story. And at 10 o'clock, and I was told this too, that you know, most jobs you have, you know, after lunch, you had to have a few meetings, you wind down, and by 5 o'clock, the day's, you know, you wound down. Well, we would be at the top at 10:30 at night. You know, we just given a live spread. So you go home, maybe work out, you go to bed at 2 in the morning, you maybe have a couple of pops. That fueled a lot of it. But a lot of it was the insecurity. And I think I've heard Dan Patrick talk about this, that, you know, that they constantly, you know, you had 1 year contracts or 2 year contracts. The minute you sign a contract there, and there's always some young kid that they can hire from Galveston or El Paso that can replace you for $30,000. And it fueled all of that. Certainly my ego did. And I did, and I do have one now, but I've learned to realize and show a little humility. And I know you have too. And I commend you for that. You've always been really good about that. Cause look at, yeah, we were kind of mini stars on television, and that's kind of cool. You know, not waiting in line and getting, you know, drinks for free. But ultimately, it's being about a good person and living a good life that the realization of that. So I worry about these young kids, especially with the advent of social media and the TikToks and the likes and the clicks and the how and my 15 minutes of fame. You know, you and I have been really fortunate to enjoy, you know, a lifetime of just stable, you know, success in this business, you know, whatever platform we're on. So, but I worry about those kids. I worry about the whole endorphins when they kick in because I got 30 likes, and you know, we had a different kind of endorphins with, you know, doing a live shot and there's 80,000 people watching you and your underwear is creeping up into your butt because there's players and the media standing all, you know, 2 feet from you. But it was fun. I wouldn't change a thing. I enjoy the greatest life. I built the greatest relationships. As you mentioned, you know, Charles Barkley was a great friend. I always wondered why he picked this short, fat, white hockey player and some 6'8" white goofy has been San Diego Star basketball players as running mates. But he's such a wonderful soul. And, you know, the Gonzos and the great people of the world that, you know, Steve Kerrs and Steve Nash, I saw him. You know, those were the things that I really miss. Those wonderful people that, you know, and even the people in media that you come across, all the talent you work with.
Where does Jude LaCava come into your life?
It's funny you ask that because, you know, Jude, I was the rising star at Channel 10 and J.D. Hayworth left to go into politics. And I was the heir apparent, and I built my career, and I was ready. And also Jude was enjoying a massive success at KTAR Riding the Suns. And we had a new news director come in, and he said, we need this guy. So they hired Jude. And I had to kind of train him how to do TV. You know, he'd been a radio guy. And you know that. There's a lot of, you know, sound bites and vosots and stand-ups and just stupid vernacular. And I wasn't very nice about it. I stomped my feet. You know, it was my job. And I did help him. And I eventually grew to have a great relationship with him. And I love him dearly. He's nobody who was a better journalist reporter that I've ever worked with. And I felt like I was a bulldog in chasing stories. And I'd always laugh I'd call somebody and said, hey, have you heard the latest? What's happening with the Suns in this trade? And they go, yeah, Jude just called me. And so I knew I was on the right track. And I've, you know, when I crashed and burned in my later days with alcohol and drugs, I did call Jude and apologized to him and made my amends and told him I love him. And I do love him. I love him to this day. And I know he's going through some health challenges right now. He's very private about it, but he has always been private about his entire life. We used to joke and call him Mr. Secrecy because we never knew. You know, he drove an old, older car, newspapers and coffee cups. One of the great stories he did was he took Dale Earnhardt Jr. around, let Dale Earnhardt drive his car around town with him in it doing an interview. And we thought, you know, coffee cups and Burger King. But Jude was secret about his life and remains that. And I understand he's going through some health issues and I love him. I wish him the best. He's been very private. He and his wife, Jill. I know it's been so hard on a lot of us that, you know, Todd Walshy, who's his, you know, his right hand man for all those years, Warren Anderson, who worked out with him at Rehab Plus. I wish him the best because this is, you know, you're able to enjoy this with your family and travel, go see them. And I hope he's doing okay. I pray for him. I genuinely pray for him and he and his wife that he's able to enjoy his time here in retirement.
I want to shift over to where you are now, and that is, I'll get to Honor Health in a minute, but Saturday mornings, the Dean pops up on the radio. And where did the Dean come from? You or was that somebody else?
No, you know this. You're not allowed to give yourself your own nickname. I know somebody called you the big guy back on 3T.
KTAR.
And it's the big guy.
We're going to call you the big guy on sports. Like, come on, guys, really?
Yeah. But, you know, they did it at Arizona Sports, Ryan Hatch. By the way, I'm going to get on a soapbox here now. One of my things that I cannot stand, yeah. I cannot stand the initial nicknames now that they go with everybody. You know, I know KD is Kevin Durant, but is that Kyle Dodd? They were talking about J.O. and I had to Josh. We got to do it with initial nicknames, but it's been fun, you know, having covered high schools for 44 years in the state, starting with Flag High and Coconino and Tucson. It was kind of cute when they came up with it. And then just recently they changed the name of the show to the Kevin McCabe Show. So I feel like I finally made it, 44 years. I always wanted a billboard. I never got one of those. Never got the promos, which, you know, the ego wanted those things. But now, I could care less. It's fun. The kids laugh at it. Some of the adults do. I hope you laugh at the big guy anymore? Does anybody still drop that on you? Forgive me for stirring it back up again.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's
you're 6'8".
It's just one of those things where it just sticks. And I think, you know, in your space, I know that Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. you're going to deliver. I also know that Saturday mornings you're going to go down some paths that are not going to be comfortable or popular at times, which I'd say good.
Yeah.
But when COVID went on, I think you called me about coming on, why I was on this rampage about all the inequities that was going on at the time with the AIA not knowing what to do from the left to the right. And not everybody had the same beliefs. And some coaches had their dads living with them who were in their 80s. And some coaches had towels wrapped up with duct tape in the same school district as everybody's just wide open. And it was lunacy.
Yeah.
And that, but you took the time. I remember you reached out to me and said, you want to come on this? But there's times where I've heard you where you've gone down the path on some conversations that aren't comfortable. And they're very comfortable for me to listen to because, like, this is what needs to be said. So you've taken what you've done through all these years, and now you're in the high school space. You're the dean. You're the must listen, the must watch on that space, in my opinion.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And I think it goes with credibility and trust, and you've gained that as well when you can talk to people and gain their trust and the inside stories. And there have been some unfortunate ones recently with Notre Dame Prep, and it really, but part of it is because it makes me sad. The way that, you know, that school is well-funded. It's in a very high wealth, high net worth area. And it could be a matter day of it could be the prime Catholic school of the Southwest. So when I hear the challenges, it makes me stop. When I hear the challenges of transfers, it makes me stop. When I hear NIL, I really believe that high schools, and this is why I've really soured on college sports and the transfer portal and the conferences combining and the NBA, and every guy makes $44 million. You know, when you and I ran back in the day, Charles was making $2 million. That's that what, you know, he wound up making 12 his last year in Houston, and but never written. Michael Jordan didn't make big money until his last few years. But it's that 90% of high school sports I still genuinely love. The stories, the kids, their what made them, their families, where they're going, the recruiting. It's that 10% that still rubs me the wrong way. So I feel like having been given this platform, as you have, and you've hired some great young talent who've come in and documented those stories, they need to be shared, and we need to say, whoa. I do give credit to the AIAA ultimately for how they handled COVID, and I worry about because COVID, we had no manual, no game plan, and what? Even everything we did, you know, when we were doing this stuff, Zooming. So for that, we made it through that, and those kids who went through that. I know your young son. We set up the office for my son the first 2 weeks. You're going to get up and go to class and sit here. And 2 weeks into it, he's got his cell phone out. He's on his computer, and he's got his TV on, and he's in class. So and now that's our future leaders of our country that lived through those 2 years of hell. So, but thank you for the nice compliment. I try not to be a scores and highlights driven a platform, but more of a allowing these kids and these coaches to share their stories. High school coaches don't make any money. Oh, fire him! You know, oh, he yelled at a kid. You know, I think the great story was Stan Lukatich when he got fired at Desert Vista. Legendary coach, won state championships at Moon Valley and Desert Vista, and the parent writes in, Kevin, you don't know the real story. He was calling our kids pussies. And I said, they probably were. What? They're going to fire somebody who's dedicated his life to teaching and growing our young people? Because stop. Well, that's not the way we do it in our Fortune 500 company. I go, this ain't no, this is a high school locker room. Stop. So you do the same thing on your platform in so many different ways. And I commend you. And I appreciate your friendship as a result of that, because you not only do the high schools and document all that, but you do it on so many different levels. And, you know, this to see the joy on many of these people, because, Brad, we used to have the 6 and 10 o'clock news to wait and watch and see, or the Sunday night recap programs. Now we have your show. We have social media. We have places to find these stories, waiting for the Saturday morning newspaper to see the box scores. Well, now, hopefully, on the Saturday mornings, they wake up on their way to Home Depot or to get their car washed or get their Starbucks, and they listen in, and I can share stories of those 44 years of the trust and the history that there was Fat Lever, there was Bob Brudig, there were, you know, high school kids here in Arizona before, you know, all the great ones that we see now.
If, you know, David Hines is retiring, I immediately thought of you as somebody that should put in to replace him. And I'm not joking. You know, you have bandwidth, and you have, there are people that will all just be out at a speaking thing or run into someone, and they'll, I say, what's new? Oh, you know what? Kevin McCabe came to our kids game. It was so great. And you may not even know it, but it's the point where the great late Andy Liberta, who passed away during COVID, where I would run into people out where he did County Line preps, and at schools like Post and Butte or Florence, who said, Andy Liberta's in the stands watching us play. And so it's a big deal when you show up and you love the sport so much. Have you ever thought about getting into a leadership position?
Yeah, I just mentioned Andy Liberta's name yesterday. My good friend Fred Khalil, who was a sportscaster here years ago, has retired here to the Valley. He's out in the Santan. He's been out hanging out with Travis Sherman at Queen Creek. And I said, you know, there was a guy named Andy Liberta who, and he was Travis. So it just gave me chills when you talk about stuff like that. It's flattering you say that. I looked into going to work for the AIA when David was hired. I inquired about joining their team because I really thought, and maybe this is why I would be interested. They need a face. They need a face of the AIA and a positive face, and somebody who is maybe not a former educator who's stuck on, these are the rules, you broke the rules. More on somebody who's relatable to people and can say hello and share the love and passion of what the AIA does. Again, that 90% of what they do and their scheduling, their referees, and it's all great. But when it's at 10%, I think they need a bright light. Somebody step forward and say, hey, it's going to be okay. We're good. It's kids. It's coaches. You know, let's grow it the right way. So that's very flattering of you to say. I know Jim Dean is over there and has the same kind of talents and abilities and history in education and in athletics. But I would love it. You know, I most recently took a position in nonprofit, which the AIA is, in fundraising. And I love every day going to work. But if I could, and I have been able to marry the two on a couple of platforms, my fundraising with high schools. But I just want the best for our kids. I want the best, and I want them to be thought of first. What's in the best interest of them or the coaches? Because it's hard now, Brad. It's hard, you know, with what we're living in the world. I mean, I haven't thought about it today. My wife said, don't post this. But I'm making one of the toughest decisions of my life, voting. I just worry about our kids. The state of Arizona, I love our state. Nobody loves our education system, and we're last. We're last in education. We're not 42nd. And I joked to her, and I said, I wish I had the balls, or I had the backing, I would run for office. But if we can, you know, God bless United States and God bless Arizona. And it begins with our kids. And I know you watched it. You raised your four kids. And I love seeing you celebrate them because we done good. You know, they're going to make mistakes. Let them make mistakes. You know, let's find a way to make it happy and make it positive.
You know, I think David's job, and I've talked to him a few times, it feels like he's always being taken to court. And so when you have some big baller shot caller, some crazy who has the financial means to say, my little so-and-so is going to get their way because I got my way. And no, there are rules in place. And, you know, I'm seeing rules broken in girls flag football now with NIL. Just flat out disregard, flat out disregard. And it's what, year two, year three of it. And it's in all sports. And, you know, Kevin, when I was talking to David about the number of credentials they hand out, this is a lot of inside baseball. They hand out over 420 media credentials. Okay. Most of them have no business being on the sidelines. Guys like you and Richard Obert and photographers, John Gustafson and Brad Gass and others, yeah, but most of these guys are out there with this, and they're runners for agents, and they're runners for NIL. That's what's going on, and they're not being vetted out. Or they're a Cronkite kid who comes up to a coach during a game asking him questions, which has been told to me a lot, and I get, oh, well, they're just college kids. They've got to learn. No, they don't. They don't have to walk up to a coach or a player to get an interview. So I think the job, in my opinion, David's done a very good job, okay? Yep. But I think he's worn out by the nonsense and lunacy of going to court over daddy baller, mommy baller saying this or that. And that's not going to change.
So. Yeah, I've told him a few times that he needs to wear a bulletproof vest, and now he can take that off and just be a grandpa. All the things you said are challenging. The world and in media, what is covering? You know, it's all, you know, a coach just resigned recently because these kids aren't about playing. They're about mixtapes and look at me and highlight reels.
On that one. I'm loving now on social on Saturday mornings. Our team lost 56-0, but here's my 10 tackles from last night's game. It's like, oh my gosh, is anybody out there saying, don't do that? But no, they're not. They're not.
No. But that's the free will that's out there. And, you know, I think that's part of the AIA. I think, you know, Harold Salemo did an amazing job of taking the AIA, the Arizona Interscholastic Association, into the next step. David's done it. He took him through COVID. And as social media has taken off, it's a whole new animal. And I think that's where, you know, the national broadcast, the NFHS, all of these things. So there's, you know, everybody's broadcasting games now. As you said, nobody's being vetted. And it scares me. It frightens me. We had a situation with a Peoria basketball coach that he, you know, snuck in under everybody, including the Phoenix Suns. You know, we have situations, as you mentioned, where a coach recently said something in a class. The parent just said they're going to sue. That coach resigned his coaching position, his teaching position, and because he was threatened with a lawsuit. And this is somebody who spent 25 years teaching, educating, growing our kids. So the boundaries have to be established. I don't know if the, you know, the toothpaste is out of the tube too far, but I still stand for a lot of those things. And I would love to, I've even welcomed that. I'd love to be part of committees and invite you. And this is not the old man on the yard, you know, get off my lawn. I embrace social media. I use it. I use Twitter as a platform. I use LinkedIn and Facebook, but all for the good of elevating the game. And that's where there's got to be some guidelines and some boundaries. So I do worry about that. And I was with you this last week. I was on the sidelines of a game, and my wife will test this, that I said, maybe I'm done at Christmas time. Maybe I'm done. You know, and she goes, honey, you always say this, the end of the football season, the playoffs, you go, I think I'm done. And then basketball starts and an opportunity to see Koa, Pete, and see maybe the best we've ever seen in Arizona high school, to watch the playoffs, to see the, you know, so baseball's coming and we've got unbelievable baseball here. So, but it does bother me. It does wear on me. You know, see the cameras, the cell phones on the sidelines, and where is this going? Who's it watching? Who are they talking to? Who are they doing interviews with? Yeah. And I worry about it.
Okay, before I get you out of here, so you're at Honor Health.
Yes.
And at Honor Health, you are
Honor Health Foundation.
Foundation.
It's the nonprofit 501c3 that funds our 6 Honor Health hospitals. They're all locally based, locally governed, which I loved. Every dollar I raise stays in Arizona. I don't have to call Memphis for approval. We have 2 great CEOs. I love it. I love it every day. We just acquired the Steward Healthcare System, which was failing miserably. And I'm proud of this, Brad. You know, we have 6 hospitals. 4 of them are A-rated. 2 of them were B-rated in a city that's filled with C's and D's. We acquired the Steward Healthcare System, which was failing miserably. It includes Tempe St. Luke's, the legendary campus. We're hoping to elevate that program. Mountain Vista, which is in Apache Junction, and also a hospital in Florence. So I love that. So I work with our vendors. I work with local businesses. We have events, and I raise money to help do miracles in medicine so that we can have robotics to repair your knee every time it breaks.
Okay, I got about 3 minutes. If you want to talk about this, great. If you don't. You're working on a book.
I have been. Since COVID started, I'm going to write a book. And I thought, you know, my 40 years of covering high school sports. And I wrote a lot and just kind of filed it away. And then I've seen some books come out and I said, you know what, I need... You know, we've had some great people who've who've paved the way for us in Arizona high school sports journalism. And I've been lucky to be part of that scene. And so I sat down and started writing again, and I've written about 80,000 words. And every time I go out, I get a new story and I go, okay. And, but, so I'm trying to put this together, but it's really not so much on, it's a little bit of Arizona history, a little bit of my life story, a little of all the people that I've had a chance to meet and, you know, helped me along the way. It includes some of the you know, I talked to a publisher who said, you know, what about, do I just do high schools? And they said, no, you need to include some Charles stories and Steve Kerr and Steve Nash and got, you know, and because that helped groom you for talking to the high school athletes. But it's really that. It's a little bit of Arizona history. It includes my personal story, which it wasn't pretty, you know. I mean, I'm not giving anything away, but I open up the book apologizing to some athletes that I didn't give their due because I was in a different place. So appreciate you asking me about that. Do you have
a title for it?
I have not, you know, somebody said I need to mix in the dean, and I don't know. I used to joke and say, you know, Brad, you'll be in, and you're, by the way, you're in there. You and Coop, even the, like the Just Chili's, who've taken sports media to the next level. I want to talk about some of those things. But I always said, you're in my hero book. So I don't know if it's the dean's hero book, you know, hey, I'll put you in my hero book. I've joked about it for 40 years. Well, damn it. Now it's going to. So, and my wife laughs because she'll be sitting watching the Hallmark Channel and go, God, you've got a lot in your head, because I'll sit there and write and I don't know what the hell I'm writing, but we'll see. If I sell one copy, I still got to have somebody write the foreword. I may have to have you reach out to you and see if you.
Tommy, as I like to tell people, everybody's got a book in them. Some books are thin. Some books are thick.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
As long as you get the book out. I'm going to run out of Zoom time, so I want to say goodbye before we have the, and then you're gone. So
no, thank you so much for allowing me to share my story and what you do, continue to do. I'm amazed at what you do, and I'm not here pumping your tires because you had me on, but holy crap, Brad, you know, you stepped away from that 6 and 10 o'clock news, and all you've done is blossomed and done great work. And I love it. And it's great to see you on the Share the Sidelines with you. Still, these days, it's fun.
Kevin McCabe, you can hear him on Arizona Sports on Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 11. You can follow him on all social platforms. He is at Honor Health Foundation. We appreciate his time this week on the Arizona Media Sports Podcast.